Blog Talk Radio.
This is T.J. Morris, and you're listening to ET Radio. Welcome aboard, all you ground troops out there spinning around on the planet with me. I am on planet Earth, Gaia, so we're visible to everyone if you have the right tools, if you are supplying yourself with those that we use today on the planet for communication, information seekers, truth seekers, light workers. Yes, I work with light workers and truth seekers around the world. Those are just categories. Our tags tonight are spirit, ET, angels, UFOs, and paranormal. So our duration is 120 minutes. The spiritual and psychological conversations that you may hear on tonight's story may cover a wide range of topics, including metaphysical, I can't even say it, esoteric, body, mind, spirit, by social networking women. And I didn't invite Janet or Diana or even some of the new people these days. So Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is Ascension Nights with me, TJ, Metaphysical Ministers. And I am the host, and I'm team building. And I have an interest to increase our membership and associations for our consciousness. And what we're doing is we're called Ascension Awakening Awareness Workshop Seminars, and we're gathering kindred spirits that want to work in various topics, including afterlife, dreams, ET extraterrestrials, ghost stories, near-death experiences, paranormal activity, phenomena science, spirit science, unexplained mysteries, intellectual technology, brain consciousness, intelligence community, cyberspace, web field, A field, Akashic field, spiritual family, team organizations, which I said like team building, right? And a lot of us do fundraisers. We have ACO Corp, ACO Folk Life, TJ Morris, ACO. Now, Divine Expo is coming up, meaning that we will be working on it worldwide. We have Whole Life Expos, Eco, and New Life Expos. The opinion expressed by the guest and those providing comments and there are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the views of the TJ Morris ET radio show or its host. So be aware of that, but we're going to talk and see what comes up, because Thursday night we've always had, and it started out politically correct, I guess one would say, working with fellow people that listen to our blogs out there, and I know a lot of you can hear me, so hi, Hugh Trawson, for Thursday nights. And those of you that helped, you know, we have the age of ascension and the golden age of cosmology is Sahaja Samadhi. And we have introductions around the world and the cycles of duality and how some call we stand on the threshold of the golden age. And if you remember in Star Trek, the age of ascension is a rite of passage in several cultures. And you know, I can go into all these different things for our warriors, but the first rite of ascension was at 13 for the Klingon use, if you remember the Klingon warriors. And the final initiation involved the use of the pain sticks. You may remember that too. As the celebrant walks through a long line of warriors, and they're saying, today I am a warrior. I must show my heart, travel the river of blood. Ew. So we're not having those types, but It is a passage ritual and celebration, and ACE Folk Life is all about our cultures here around the world, but mainly in the United States of America, because we team up with the Smithsonian Institute and the World's Rite of Ascension. Apparently, you know, we have teamed up with those of the Christian faith and those in America that believe in Jesus Christ, Christ consciousness, which aren't the same, but similar, and ascension meaning raising our spirit out of our body when we die. And of course, we have Ascension Day, and we know we celebrate 40 days after Jesus died when he rose again, and so there's various takes on that. But what we cover as the Ascension Age is that we're all going forward from the old Aquarian Age of the New Age, and we're passing over into the Ascension Age together. And I have various people that work with me in the spiritual world and the esoteric world and the metaphysical world, which you might say is all one and the same, and the psychological, with a lot of psychologists, friends of mine, psychiatrists, and people that are counselors in the world, including mystics, oracles, psychics, sages, seers, and prophets and prophetesses, I guess if you want to say, are those that are sleeping prophet, like Edgar Cayce. We have Robert Morningstar of New York, which has also been my editor for the UFO Digest for years. And Robert Morningstar has agreed to come on, and he wants to talk about ARE, which it has to do in the various forms of chi that he teaches, such as Tai Chi. And, of course, there's the Ki. And KI, and you know we use that in Reiki, right? So there's various levels of the way we think of the Ascension Age and all those gifts and tools of raising our spirit from our body, and that includes afterlife and in dreams. And then there are extraterrestrials, ghost stories, near-death experiences, et cetera, et cetera. And the shift, if you know Wayne Dyer, he is one of my teachers, and he talks of the shift. As a matter of fact, he's got a video out called The Shift. And he is a spiritual teacher. And, of course, he believes if we're all going into that realm where people, we all aren't just about any money anymore, but it's easier for him to say now that he sold all of his books and became a millionaire, right? Living in Hawaii or wherever he is now, but he was in Hawaii, the last I heard. But think about it. All those people that are teaching us everything we want to know with their PhD, they did everything right. They had the American dream. They got the big houses, the big cars, the families, the dogs, you know, and became rich and famous with the education they had and learned to put it to good use. Some of the teachers that were in education, some of my best friends in the academic world or academia, are teachers, and I work with artists, creators, and culture, I guess you could say crafters, those that are people that all are brilliant and are professionals in their everyday walks of life. And they will go on after their associates and get their bachelor's and their master's and their PhDs, which we like to do around the entire world. And it seems to be that a lot of the foreign exchange students come over here and learn all that we can teach them and go back and work for their own countries. And here in America, we're hoping that we can train our own people in America to do the right things. And we need more entrepreneurs. Those are the people that start their own businesses. A lot of downsizing companies in the old way, before 12/21/12, are happening. They were huge, large corporations that seemed too big to fail. Had so many thousands, if not millions, of people working here and there for them. And now we're learning that they can fail, let me put it that way. And these were mortgage companies and some of banking companies and all of this. But believe me, the world's not going to just fall on its sword and give up. Well, that's not the way that the spirit of all that we are as human beings does it. And you hear about free energy, and if you'll hear the argument that, well, Nikola Tesla gave us free energy, and the government didn't want him to have it because, if you know, well, I won't mention names, but we all pretty much know the stories because we've heard them over and over. If certain people hadn't wanted to make money with electricity, then we'd all have free energy. Well, that's debatable, because if we really have it, we're apparently not using it, so if we're all so good at it, then let's start getting on with it. Let's all make our free energy. And supposedly, there's various new ways with water, et cetera, and other ways to make energy, since everything is energy. And the shift, the change, is supposed to be about us becoming more awake and aware in our 3D form, because as long as you're alive, you're physically in three-dimensional form here. Now, some of us would like to argue and say, well, our spirit is always alive, even if we're not in physical form. So spiritually and psychologically, we're starting to discuss, just like with philosophy and in theosophy. And then you have all these people that are looking to go over from the way of the old school, what we call the ancient text, and all the world religions, and how some of them, I'm not saying all, just some, did go with what we call the rapture. And I've heard on several of the TV shows, I haven't been watching them lately, but I used to watch, and the rapture is a Christian term in Christian eschatology, and it refers to the being caught up, right? That was discussed in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So what that was when the dead in Christ, right? Many Christians believe that we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So the term rapture is used at least in two ways. The pre-tribulation view, a group of people who will be left behind on earth after another group literally leaves to meet the Lord in the air. And this is now the most common use of the term, especially among fundamentalist Christians in the United States. Now, the other older use of the term rapture is simply a synonym for the final resurrection, generally without a belief that a group of people is left behind on earth for an extended tribulation period after the events described in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So this distinction is important. And some types of Christianity never refer to the rapture at all in religious education, but some of them do. So you may want to use the older and more general sense of the word rapture in referring to what happens during the final resurrection. And there's a lot of views of Christians regarding the time of Christ's return, whether it will happen, if it has occurred, or if we are in the days now with Christ consciousness in all of us, and various views regarding the destination of the aerial gathering in 1 Thessalonians. Now, there's various denominations of the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox Christians, Lutheran Christians, Reformed Christians, and they believe in a rapture only in the sense of a general final resurrection when Christ returns in a single time. They don't believe that a group of people is left behind on earth or for an extended tribulation after the events of 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So pre-tribulation rapture theology was developed in the 1830s by John Nelson Darby and the Plymouth Brethren and popularized in the United States in the 20th century by the wide circulation of the Scofield Reference Bible. Now, the etymology means rapture is derived from the French Middle Rapture, meaning Middle French rapture, with the medieval Latin raptura, meaning seizure, rape, or kidnapping, which derives from the Latin raptus, a carrying off. And you know, we always study epistemology, or the study of words, with this group I've got going, the Ace Folk Life. So the Greek, Koine Greek, uses a verb, and it means we shall be caught up or taken away, with the connotation of a sudden event. Just like the dictionary form of the Greek word harpazo, or harpazo. This use is seen in the text Acts 8:39, Corinthians 12:2-4, and Revelation 12:5. Now, the Latin Vulgate translates the Greek rapimer from the verb rapio, meaning to catch up or take away. So you can see they're all taken on Greek, Latin, etymology type of stuff. And we've been looking at Aramaic letter lately. And, of course, it's said that Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and all of the, whether you're Christian or Jew or Muslim, they're all of the same Arabic face. are the Arabic faith, are the, well, if you think about it, it was written in Aramaic. So, you know, we're going to be looking at all of that in the New Age of the Ascension Age and studying all world religions and various people, which also include all the motivational people, you know, and there were many of them and there still are, in helping our entrepreneurs and being able to work better in America with other Americans. Now, I know that a lot of you may think, what is an entrepreneur? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to, I am an entrepreneur, and I went to school to learn to be an entrepreneur, and I paid a lot of thousands of dollars to learn how to be an entrepreneur. So actually, an entrepreneur is an individual, okay? This is the general idea in the Wikipedia. And there's a picture of Richard Branson, the British businessman. But the entrepreneur is commonly seen as an innovator, a generator of new ideas and business processes. Management skill and strong team-building abilities are often perceived as essential leadership attributes for successful entrepreneurs. Now, psychological studies show that the psychological propensities for male and female entrepreneurs are more similar than different. And a growing body of work shows that entrepreneurial behavior is dependent on social economic factors. For example, countries with healthy and diversified labor markets are stronger safety nets, and they show more of a favorable ratio of opportunity-driven rather than necessity-driven for women entrepreneurs. An empirical study suggests that male entrepreneurs possess strong negotiating skills and consensus-forming abilities. Now, we're all sharing that, and I've been able to find a lot of entrepreneurs that are innovative, but so many of them need teams, and that's what I'm trying to do, is build a team of people. I'm looking for my partners that I can hook up to, and there's a theory based on topologies, okay? Recent advances indicate that the difference in entrepreneurs and the heterogeneity or geneity is their behaviors and actions can be traced back to their founder's identity. For instance, Fauchart and Gruber have recently utilized social identity theory to illustrate that entrepreneurs can be distinguished in three main types: Darwinians, communitarians, and missionaries. These type of founders not only diverge in fundamental ways in terms of their self-views and their social motivations and entrepreneurship, but also engage fairly different in new firm creations. So remember that. There's three types: the Darwinians, the communitarians, and the missionaries. Okay? And then we'll just have to decide how they, that's how they perceive. That's a theory-based topology of the typical types of entrepreneurs. So you may want to look into that if you plan on working at all in the business process as entrepreneurs. And a lot of us have some more management skills than others, so strong team-building abilities are often perceived as essential leadership attributes. So for every successful entrepreneur, there will be a team behind them. And Robert B. Wright considers leadership, management ability, and team building to be essential qualities of an entrepreneur. This concept has its origins in the work of Richard Cantillon and his essay Sur la Nature du Commerce in General, and Jean-Baptiste in the Treatise of Political Economy. So those are professional people that write books about people that are professionals like entrepreneurs. So, you know, an entrepreneur, you heard, it's basically we're innovators, and we get started and commonly seen as innovators in business. We help with new ideas and business processes, and we learn about management skill and strong team building and putting together a group of people with various different skills. And that also is what the Ascension Age is about, because after this year in 2013, we're going to begin 2014 with an understanding the world didn't come to an end in 12/21/12, and we got through all the uncertainties of the cost of non-fixed income and the cost of production and all of that in the world, and we're going to get on with understanding that, yes, we are still going to need our entrepreneurs and businesses as economic agents who unite the world with the production and with land and labor and capital, because we're going to all need financing, not just individuals, but businesses and countries, and we're going to have to learn how to achieve that. So we have what's called social entrepreneurs, such as myself, and how we help socially with the world. And we usually carry a message, just like on this radio show, carrying a message forward. So let me see if I can pull up a proper term for pro. Now, you can see websites, and you can see YouTube videos and look for social entrepreneurship. But that is the process of pursuing suitable solutions to social problems. More specifically, social entrepreneurs adopt a mission to create and sustain social value. Now, that's what I'm doing. They pursue opportunities to serve this mission while continuously adapting and learning. So I'm always adapting and learning, okay? And we draw upon appropriate thinking in both the business and nonprofit worlds and operate in all kinds of organizations, large and small, new and old, religious and secular, nonprofit, for-profit, and hybrid. Business entrepreneurs typically measure performance in profit and return, but social entrepreneurs also take into account a positive return to society. Social entrepreneurs typically further broad social, cultural, and environmental goals and is commonly associated with the voluntary and not-for-profit sectors. Profit can at times also be a consideration for certain companies or other enterprises. Now, we have social entrepreneurships practiced all over the world in an international context. So if you're not familiar with how we're globally expanding our world and people in it, it's called international social entrepreneurship. And you can see corporate social entrepreneurship and how that applies to the shift. Because in widespread terms, we've been working on this for over 100 years. But the widespread term is based on those in the know. And various leaders and promoters around the world have tried to work and point direction towards their country and assisting their people in their country. And that's when you get into social entrepreneurship divided by global tectonic economics, okay? Global tectonic economics. Now, one of the current practices is one well-known contemporary social entrepreneur is Muhammad Yunus, founder and manager of Grameen Bank and its growing family of social venture businesses, who was awarded a Nobel Prize in 2006. The work of Yunus and Grameen echoes a theme among modern-day social entrepreneurs that emphasizes the enormous synergies and benefits when business principles are unified with social ventures. So in some countries like Bangladesh, social entrepreneurs have filled the space left by relatively small states. In other countries, especially in Europe and South America, they tend to work more closely with public organizations at both the national and the local level. Now, a lot of people are going to make you think that in America that times are so bad and, oh, things are going to hell in a handbasket and all of that. Well, let me tell you, they're thriving in the world. That's why so many of our big, big money people are moving to other countries, such as Russia or the United Kingdom or China, mainly China, and because of the expenses. Now, there's 250 countries, right? 250. And they would like you to think that America is the poorest. We're not. They'd like to think that, oh, the rest of the 249 countries are going to put us under. They're not, particularly in America, okay? But nonprofits and non-government organizations, foundations, and governments individually play the role to promote funds and advise social entrepreneurs around the planet. There's a growing number of colleges and universities establishing programs focused on educating and training social entrepreneurs. So, folks, if you got kids, let them look into that. There's a women's empowerment program for empowering women by promoting education, cooperative farming, vocational training, savings planning, and business development at the George Foundation's Women's Empowerment Program, okay, and business development. In 2006, the cooperative farming program, Baldev Farms, B-A-L-D-E-V, was the second largest banana grower in South India with 250 acres under cultivation. Profits from the farm are used for improving the economic status of the workers and for running the oldest charitable activities of the foundation. So there are groups all over India, and I happen to have partners in the associates in India. And we are doing what we can to help them, and they take what I write, and they take every word that I speak and put it in other languages for me and give it out free to help other people. Now, some create for profit and a difference in organizations. And a recent example is Vikram Akula, the McKinsey alumni, who has started micro lending ventures, SKS Microfinance, in villages of the Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. That's over in India. And the venture for profit initiated a sharp social change among poor women from villages. So this is a wonderful thing. And other examples of social entrepreneurs in healthcare in India. And there's just wonderful things happening around the world, and we need to start sharing because people have no clue how many people are actually doing good things around the world. And that's what the Ascension Age is about, is raising consciousness about not just the bad doom and gloom bullshit that you hear on all the major media networks and, oh, you've got to worry about this and, oh, you've got to worry about that. Well, a lot of people don't even listen to that news anymore, okay? So, but we are continuing on social media, and I am in social broadcast media. And, of course, it depends on who you want to listen to as to what certain things mean in various different disciplines and whether you're going to get confused or you may be mistaken about what you thought the world was here to create for you or for others. So we have philanthropists, social activists, environmentalists, and other social-oriented practitioners, and they refer to each other also as social entrepreneurs. But it's important to set the function of social entrepreneurship apart from other socially-oriented activities and identify the boundaries within the social where social entrepreneurs operate. Some have advocated restricting the term to founders of organizations that primarily rely on earned income, meaning income earned directly from paying consumers. Others have extended this to include contracted work for public authorities, while still others include grants and donations. This argument is unlikely to be resolved soon, but Peter Drucker, for example, once wrote that there was nothing so entrepreneurial as creating a new university. Yet in most developed countries, the majority of universities' funding comes from the state. So there's organizations such as Ashoka Innovators for the Public, the SKOLL Foundation, which I'm working with, S-K-O-L-L, the Amidyar Network, and the Schwab Foundation for Social Entrepreneurship, AFGO, the New Profit Inc., National Social Entrepreneurship Forum, and Echoing Green, among others, and they focus on highlighting hidden change makers who are scattered throughout the world. Ashoka's change makers, Open Sourcing Social Solutions Initiative, change makers use an online platform, what is called collaborative competition, to build communities of practice around pressing issues. Now, the North American organizations tend to have a strongly individualistic stance focused on a handful of exceptional leaders, while others in Asia and Europe emphasize more on how social entrepreneurs work within teams, networks, and movements for change. And that's what I'm sort of doing, with India and Europe. So the Skoll Foundation created eBay's first president, Jeff Skoll. That's right, eBay. You got it, folks. He is the president of eBay. He makes a capacity-building mezzanine-level grants to social entrepreneurial organizations that already have reached a certain level of impact, okay, and that connects others through the annual Skoll Foundation or the Skoll World Forum and Social Edge. The foundation's online community highlights their work through partnerships with the Sundance Institute. That's right, S-U-N-D-A-N-C-E, Sundance Institute, Frontline World, NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, and other film and broadcast outlets. Skoll also supports the field of social entrepreneurship, including through Skoll's founding of the Skoll Center for Social Entrepreneurship at the SAID, or S-A-I-D, Said Business School at Oxford University. Examples of social entrepreneur business in the USA include NIKA, Nika Water Company, which sells bottled water in the USA and uses 100% of its profits to bring clean water to those in the developing world, as well as Newman's Own, which donates 100% of its profits to support various educational charities. Now, there's various young children out there. We work with youth. The youth social entrepreneurship is an increasingly common approach to engaging the youth voice in solving social problems. Now, remember, this is all part of the shift. The youth organization programs promote efforts through a variety of incentives to young people, and the young people work with young social pioneers, which invest in the power and promise of Australia's young leaders. That's right, Australia helping the world. The program is an initiative of the Foundation for Young Australians, and they have support groups, and they celebrate the role of young people creating positive change in their communities. Okay, Australia is setting a wonderful example. Now, there's the Fast Company magazine annually publishes a list of the 25 best social entrepreneurs with their magazine, which is designed for organizations using the disciplines of the corporate world to tackle daunting social problems. Now, in 2009, Business Week followed suit, publishing a review of America's 25 most promising social entrepreneurs, defining and defined enterprising individuals who apply business practices to solve societal problems. Now, all you individuals out there that have nothing to do, you can get involved in social problems and form your own organizations. That is part of the collaborative shift. Corporate social entrepreneurship collaboration. Learn what it means. Learn how to do it. Get a list of social entrepreneurs in your area. Get social businesses going, social enterprises. There's social innovation. There's all kind of ways. And there's further reading you can look up under Technology Innovation Management Review. That was February 2012. Came out in 2012, folks. It's all about the shift, the meaning of social entrepreneurship and the shift, what you can do, how you can work, how you can get involved. So look into those case definitions and how to get involved in the age of ascension. That's what we're doing, folks, okay? So be an entrepreneur, start your own business, get involved. Be who you know you can be, because we're all a part of the future. Now, remember that we can draw on both old and new business for profit and nonprofit in this world, and we can operate in all types of organizations, no matter how small, how low, large, how new, how old, how religious, how secular, doesn't matter. We can even create hybrids. And we can get into learning about empowering each other, not just men or women or a handful of people that are exceptional, but we need to learn how to work together. And people don't really have an idea of how to do that a lot of times as individuals. So the United States government has various ways to look and study. Just let somebody know where you live, that you want to create a small business. And we have SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, and that will help you. These are old entrepreneurs or old business owners. and they have run companies, and they will find one something similar to you. SCORE Expert Business Counseling, okay? They have them all in America for small businesses, and they work with the SBA, the SCORE Association, or Counselors to America's Small Business. And it's a nonprofit association, and they refer, you know, the way to do test scores and all that, you think of a SCORE. But we also have SCORE that helps small businesses in the government. And there's no reason not to start your own business, okay? That is part of the shift. How are you going to take care of yourself? If you're over 18 and you're listening to this out there, there are ways, okay, you can get involved. There's SCORE at the SBA.gov, okay? And their Association of Counselors to Help America and to Help Small Business, meaning you as an individual, okay? That's part of the shift as well. If you can hear me, I know you're around the world, and even in your own country, there are ways to get involved. And you can choose a mentor for your business questions, okay? And there's SCORE if you go to SBA.gov, G-O-V, for the United States Small Business Administration. Start managing, thinking about starting, and creating your own business. Now, there's people with the SBA and the SCORE that will help you choose a business plan, your business structure, registering your business, obtaining your business license, learning about business law, financing your business, learning how to pay your taxes, how to choose right place for business, your equipment. And so many of us are doing this from home now because we're all communicating using the internet. So you can manage a business and do whatever you want in products or services, or both, such as me. You can do both products and services and still mentor other people and have your own newsletter, give out business tips, or you can just be on Facebook all day and play games, you know, or say hi to people. Or you can get busy and find out how to support yourself and make money. And as I've said, look up Social Entrepreneur and look up SBA.gov, and they even have forms and ways to fill out, get counseling and mentoring, and train yourself. Find out how to do all this. Now, let's say you've already done all that. Let's say you're an entrepreneur, you know how to start up your own self, you can motivate yourself and pour your life into starting a business. A lot of people put all their savings and all their energy into a business, and people will tell you, well, right now isn't a good time to start a business. Well, any time is a good time to start business, okay? So it just depends on how you want to do it. But you want to have as much intelligence about what you're doing and be sure you're investing your time and your money into yourself, because we only have a short time to live. From the time we're born, we've just got this dash in between the time we die. So everything that we do in between is called our life, okay? And you'll hear people talk about your SCORE and your chapters in your area, your suburban or rural areas and your urban communities and all of that. And you can find out how to get involved if you don't want to get paid and you don't need money. And I have friends that don't want to make money. I really do. I have friends that want to make money, so I have those of both. But you can learn how to take care of yourself, and if you want to work, work. If you don't, don't. I just hope you can make sure that you have food, clothing, and shelter, and preferably communication, transportation, and ways to and from the doctor when you need it. If you don't, now might be a good time to start thinking about how you're going to proceed in the future, and that's what I'm here to do tonight. And I'm going to change the open panel because obviously I didn't invite anybody tonight but the shift. And I'm going to put entrepreneurship, which a lot of people don't even know what that is. But when you're working with individuals, you can learn. I was just over having today myself having to go through a time with my physical health. And one of the girls was lives down not even a mile from me, named Heather Holland, and she had her arm in a sling like I do. She's 3 days out. I'm 14 days out. So I had my staples taken out of my shoulder today, and for having my what they call a rotocuff and my clavicle sanded down for spurs. But they thought I had a big tear and all that, and he said, luckily I didn't. So fortunately, it wasn't as bad off as I thought I was. So that's good news. But we're both sitting there, and she's working in a ministry. She has kids, but she works in a dance ministry. And she's heavy, and, you know, she knows she could lose weight, and that's what they keep telling her, because she's about 5'7", 250. I'm 5'11", 240. But you put us next to each other, we're like Mutt and Jeff, right? But she's working, and she's got a bum knee, but she's still going out every weekend with a ministry, and she's the dance coach. So she helps them with their ministry and gets paid for it to go out and talk and be, and they do, you know, what I guess pray what we call around the South, praise and worship and evangelist type of groups, if you know what I mean, and they put on little skits and shows and all of that. So she's very happy, and she has extra income, and her husband retired from driving a truck and is now driving a school bus in the evening after, or for, you know, for children in the morning and in the afternoon. So that's how they're making it. They already had a huge farm, and he had a business already where he fixes lawnmowers and is the local locksmith, so they have those two businesses as well. Or did have, I don't even know if they still have those or not. But those are the ways people that used to do nothing but farming, they're doing other jobs. So people I know are you doing one, two, three, and four jobs to keep money coming in. And I do that too. I get a little bit from here and a little bit from there, a little bit from book publishing, a little bit from organizing, a little bit from event planning, a little bit from helping people here and there, and even a little bit sometimes from produce during the summer, helping my husband or helping other people with their events. Are now getting back into the larger expos, and I'd like to learn who people are, and one of the things I enjoy is the paranormal and the spiritual. Now, a lot of people psychologically have gotten involved with me because they want to do extraterrestrial experiencer type of seminars, or getting together in regions and having those type of get-togethers and learning who the experiencers are around the world. And right now I'm sort of botched up for another 6 weeks, so I ain't going nowhere for another 2 months, which probably means I'll end the year not traveling out of country, passport ready, right? So I'll probably not be doing any traveling. I've been asked to go to other countries, especially India next year, so I may be looking for a team to travel the world with me. For all you people out there that like to travel, you may want to start deciding to get your act together and decide what you're good at, you know, because I travel with people that are really good at sharing extraterrestrial energy or the ascension age energy, or if you want to say a lot of things that we cover in the body, mind, spirit, and the ace folk life. And I've chosen a few people and sent them a list of the topics that we handle around the world, including India, mainly India, and Canada. We do Canada, and we do Hawaii. You know, Hawaii was big. And then in the we have all conferences. If you want to go and look at allconferences.com, at all the conferences we have, and we have these folklife conferences, and one is in Seattle. And you can look at that. It's probably the best, called Folklife. It's a Folklife conference in Seattle. So you may want to look at that. But we're looking also at the Smithsonian, right? The Smithsonian has the Folklife every year. And we have AC Folklife Smithsonian. And a lot of people really don't know how Folklife fits with the world and America, and I've recently written something up to share with friends, so and posted it, and the reason I did that was so many people have helped throughout with the ACE Folklife and the ACE guide for the ACE Metaphysical Institute. And in the past, I had all of these things separate, and in the future, we're not going to do that. We're specializing with a paranormal natural in the supernatural. But I'm a professional consultant and an expert witness in legal investigations based on my prior military and government and my investigations as a private investigator. But now I'm going into various paranormal stories and how to help friends with books to help them get theirs. I'm behind on one lady at least 15, another guy 5, another guy 15, at least one other guy 2. So I could be sitting here editing books every day and still not get caught up, not to mention mine that I've got 5 or 10 behind. So that's part of what I do, is help educate as well as edit books. And then in pastime, I'm helping people that are friends that want to be readers and helping people in what we call the ACE Metaphysical Minister Group. And we are part of the Ascension Universal Life Church, and we help each other and various times on the internet and with broadcast media. Now, we're all visionaries, and we're also ways of emerging the movement for globally conscious citizens that we're dedicated to assisting in various levels, not just in the higher levels, in the suits, we call them, but those in the grassroots with less than, I'd say, $150,000 a year. So we believe that consciousness is essential to a paradigm shift that will lead more sustainable life and have a better sustainable world. So we encourage open-minded explorations of consciousness through the meeting of science and spirit. So we take inspiration from great discoveries of human history in the past, the ancient history and the modern day, whether it's in eastern or western part of the world, and we outsource and we've been sourced from insight and intuition. And we harness reason and logic for their outer expression, meaning we work together and we come up with people and help them with their patents and their forming their businesses and see how convicted they really are. And we have systematic inquiries into consciousness and how to catalyze the will into positive, concrete transformation into manifesting. And most of my friends in the past that have been in the New Age community have the worst time of making money, okay? They are the world's worst. Now, they finally got where the government was allowing them finally to make money online. So some of them are counselors, and they're doing readings and helping people that way. At least they're helping themselves on the minute-to-minute, how much that costs per minute to talk to people. But think about the people on the other end are broadening their awareness and their knowledge of their own natural and full potential if they get good readers about their consciousness and applying that knowledge. And so we don't only want to talk about how to fix a problem, but what their problem is and enhancing their humanity and their well-being for the quality of life on the planet. Now, there are various subjects that we discuss with other people, and a lot of them are going to be coming to these expos. We're going to be co-creating together with authors of e-books and magazines and the people that sell crystals and singing bowls and musicians, whether it's relaxing or meditation type of tapes or therapy or vibrational tapes. And we're also going to talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials and the unified field and the Akashic field, body work, and all types of body equipment, and whether it's used by chiropractors or the new modalities today and the way that we think, whether it's Lomi Lomi or Huna or all types of massage or myofascial release or shiatsu massage. And we even have people that work in yoga and various ways to do yoga, Ayurvedic, Rosenberg, Rubenfeld, Synergy, Traegers. We have Eastern acupressure and yoga. We even have what's called karma yoga, where we have teachers, and I'll be going again here locally, and we do our groups, and we'll have everybody pay $5. And over time, we do fundraisers together here at our wellness center. And so a lot of people are doing that at the wellness centers, working together, and we're raising money to help those in need, okay? But there's various things we'll have, and there's, you know, talking about food, natural health, and we have a juice bar in our health center, and I don't know if you can afford, but mine's $31 a month. It's what I pay monthly to go and use the services of all the spa equipment, all the free weights, the swim in the pool. I can use the sauna, play racquetball. I can do kickboxing. I can do, what is it called again, Zuba? Shoot, I just said it today with Holler, Heather Holland today. But anyway, the type of Zumba dancing, and they have low impact, medium, and all that. So there's all kind of people getting all involved together and meeting at the health clubs, okay? So if you got $30, I don't know what your local club is, but you ought to see. It may not be as expensive as mine, paying $31 a month. Some are cheaper than that. Some are $20 a month. I know when I was in Hawaii, I paid like $25 a month. It was Golden Gym or Gold, G-O-L-D, Gold Gym. So there's gyms or health clubs you can join and find out how to help yourself. And if you don't want to help yourself, maybe help seniors get there, elders. Okay, there's people that want to go. They just don't have transportation. So maybe you can help people get involved there, you know. It just depends on your lifestyle and where you're at in the lifestyle that you're in. And I have people at various levels of money and how they can come and go and what they can afford to do. And there's a lot of people that are very wealthy and they're very clicky. And then there's those that aren't. And then I have people that see me where you get the nails and the pedicures done, you know. Certain people can afford that, and some people are professionals and have jobs. They have to look good and be up emotionally because they're in the caregiving business. So I have a lot of nurses and people, and the girl that worked on me today, they just graduated. So a lot of people, young kids, are physical therapists today, and I've had nieces that do that in the world. They're all into the, we were told years and years ago, 10, 20 years ago easily, to get into either law enforcement or into the health field. You know, you're either going to go into security wearing uniforms or into the medical profession wearing the scrubs, right? And everybody around here, it seems like, has scrubs on everywhere you go. So there's ways to do this in the place and plane that we are, this level, this journey, this personal journey we're on. Times are changing. They're always changing. They've always changed. They always will change because we deal with time. Time on this planet, okay, based on the solar system, where the planets are, if you believe in that type of thing as to the magnetic pull and how it affects your consciousness. If you believe it affects your consciousness, it probably does. If you don't pay any attention to it, it probably doesn't. But my higher consciousness is part of me. We're all together and we all have one. And we call our energy spirit, some of us do anyway, the love in our heartfelt spirit inside us all. And that's what we hope prevails over the next coming time we call the shift. We're all moving more into love and light, sharing and helping others get out of releasing the fear. There's nothing to fear but fear itself, was once said. We can live in love and light and know that our futures are all leading to another area we call somewhere in the future. But we are working on it day to day, and a lot of our 12-step programmers, people that are giving up from the old days prior to 12/21/12, bad habits that no longer serve them. And you can have bad habits. I don't do drinking, drugging, smoking, or anything that's bad for me. Never did, never wanted to. I was fortunate. I didn't have a type of addictive personality. Very fortunate. I don't understand people that have those type of addictions, but I never had them, so I can't compare. All I know that my spiritual path, my walk in life, didn't have me have to worry about drinking, smoking, drugging, hanging out, being nothing, doing nothing, thinking nothing, and having nothing. So I'm all about creating the future and the purpose of each individual's life, and learning that they can love others and share their highest form of being and doing and having with others. And it's great if you team build and bring in what you can offer others. And some of the best seminars and best expos and best classes I ever had that I did pay money for when I was working and had the money to pay for them were those that were working together and making a difference in myself and serving others. So the best advice I can give another is to ask one's own higher self, what can be done to serve self and others while here on earth? be of service, be involved, get involved, consider the reality you personally are creating while you're here on Earth. Be of service to the world, serve in love and light, and learn about all that is inside and outside of you and how it all goes together while you're here, because all these humanoid, sentient, intelligent beings, they're probably going to follow you to your next life. And those of us that have studied reincarnation, past life regression, working with people that have had past lives, done their work on themselves, know all their lives or their future lives, or they work with various ways and waves and dimensions and forms of particles and waves and energy and what we call quantum dynamics, quantum physics, and working with the theory of everything and the belief of God and that God is all-encompassing. Now, I've even been quoted as to using my name. A man wrote a book where he quoted my name about God, and in the beginning God was, and God was a dot. So there's a dot theory out there. It's only a theory. But when I died and left my body, this is part of the shift. A lot of us shift when we die, and we have this plane that we are able to go to and from as the seven heavens of our ancient ancestors that was created before us in the etheric astral plane. Christ, I'm going to discuss these seven levels. They're called universe, multiverse, metaverse, xenoverse, omniverse, alphaverse, and omegaverse. Okay? Those are the seven verses, like universe, multiverse, metaverse, xenoverse for the unknown. And then you have the film around the omniverse on your journey. So you're all going to be serving out your purpose to learn how to come and go in all these higher dimensions and these higher universes. And we have parallel dimensions. You're going side to side, front and back, up and down, all these parallels, different dimensions that happen to you. And you're going to learn about extraterrestrials. Some people call them aliens. Some believe in the higher beings and aliens and extraterrestrials. And where we get the information from in our universe, multiverse, metaverse, universe, omniverse, alphaverse, and omegaverse. And some people in science only believe up to the omniverse film of the all, and they don't believe in an alpha and omega. That is a god, a male god and a female god, alphaverse and omegaverse. I happen to believe in both alpha and omega, as above, so below. And that's always been the way it's been sought out in other worlds and extraterrestrials I personally have worked with at higher levels. Not just when I died, but in 3D with my own consciousness and when we allow our spirit to intervene. And it will take you in places we call synchronicity. So spirits sometimes hear other spirits, that still small voice inside of you we call a conscious. There's a storehouse of mental images inside of us all. And some are good and some are bad. So it's up to us to clean our own house of consciousness. That's part of the shift, to begin creating the mental images that we want to know and we want to discover. If you don't like something, don't think about it. If it doesn't serve you, let it go. These are what we're teaching now, all of us mystics, oracles, psychic sages, seers, that we're creating our own world, and that's part of the shift. What are you creating with your mind? Every day when you wake up, it's a new day, it's a new world for you. When you leave, you're not taking all of us with you. You're taking you. You bridge the gap. You are the go-between. You are the part between this journey and that journey, the lifetime that you're having on Earth. And we're going to be very realistic in your part and your role to play, because I write, I do my own story with the guidance of those above. We call aliens, higher beings, guides, angels, God and goddess. I ask them to guide me every day. I raise people to believe, my children and teachers on earth, and also the leader called Jesus Christ, the greatest metaphysician that ever walked the earth. I believe in the power that he walked the earth. I just take it on deeper than many people do at the Old and New Testament level when I grew up, and I've looked at many other books outside that weren't in the Constantine version, and it's my choice, even though I am very familiar with the Gutenberg Bible, the first one written in Germany, and where it's kept. That's my choice, to keep learning and to keep knowing, and I pay attention to archaeology and what all is dug up, but I also have a direct line to the all-encompassing source. So I believe in any situation we're given to choose to find ourselves and to find others there. That is our choice. When people cross your spiritual path, that is your choice or their choice. Either way, it makes a cross, a crucifixion, where Christ showed the burden of up as above, so below, side to side, parallel, and vertical thinking. And we're here to shift and to share our lives and to choose to share who we choose to share life with. And those are situations we come up with. It's very easy to find those to choose to spend time with, because you've only got so many minutes on earth, and as is promised in the old ancient scriptures of our forefathers, nobody usually knows when their time is up, even when you're on your deathbed. And I've been there with people when they've passed. I've had people pass their lives out in my arms in a international airport in Los Angeles. So the word ascension and alien civilizations exist can actually mean the same thing. It just depends on who you're talking to, because everything's relative. Everything is subjective. So I share that of me and this universe. The universe is composed of a multiverse with a higher dimension and a higher domain, and we're looking to share those in the future, not just the lower domains, but the higher domains at various levels in normal space and imaginary space. And you're going to learn if you listen, and if you have chance to look at TV or the Science Channel, that the imagination brain is very much a part of you, or look it up and learn the concept of the imaginary time itself, the theory devised by Hawking to explain the birth of the universe without the use of singularities, without relying on the existence of God. But the one picture of the universe with any beginning, the Big Bang singularity, or the Big Crunch singularity, composing of multidimensional hyperspherical surfaces, we call the normal space. Our real number domain is another way to say it. Reality perceiving to know via sense organ, the imaginary space. We have imaginary number domain in the reality that cannot be perceived. So every single thing that exists in the universe extends in these two domains. The real number domain is the reality that can be perceived, and the imaginary space, imaginary number domain, the reality that cannot be perceived, okay? Two domains, for example, in the case of humans, the substance and flesh that can be seen and touched exist in normal space, and the consciousness and heart that cannot be seen, okay? They exist in imaginary space. The collective unconscious exists in imaginary space and is recognized as a white beach. A lot of people, you saw the movie Contact, there was a white beach. That's because so many people use that around the world as a teaching tool. So the white ash colored beach is a visionary's place, or a visual image of the imaginary domain that a consciousness person, one that can consciously visualize, will realize it's a real domain body. And when you die, a lot of people think you go to this white place or this collective consciousness, okay? Or some people, it's a black consciousness. When you say, okay, I'm going to sleep, and you go to the black, there's nothing there. You don't remember anything. But that's subjective. It differs according to cultural background and the experiencer of the perceiver. You are the perceiver. How you perceive your perceptions. The collective unconscious is something like a sky that canopies the entire world, our vast land on which everything stands. Now, the collective unconscious is imaginary space, and it's such an absolute existence that it is the structure of a gigantic consciousness that holds the dimensional universe together. Imaginary space can be thought of as the spiritual domain. That's where the spiritual people go and talk about their spiritual world of the soul, spoken about by universal religions around the world, and many of them call it heaven and nirvana. So that's how we're going to get into spiritual and psychological teachings, and how I'm going to be able to bring people together into the Ace Folk Life Historical Society, open source groups, and their friends of me, TJ Morris, and my company, ACO. And we will use those people to assist in sharing. And I have many guides of many levels of understanding, financial levels and mental levels, spiritual and imagined levels of sustainable world and essence, whether they're in the real or the imaginary world, and how we pertain all of this together in science and spirit. We take inspiration from each other and we help each other. And that is how we're going to move forward in this world and what we are now presently creating in the world. Now, with that said, I'm going to turn this shift of entrepreneurship and time over. I've talked a little bit over an hour. I'm going to save this as the shift entrepreneurship, and I'm going to put 2013. And I'm going to leave this the way it is, shift entrepreneurship 2013, and let this be a show of a little over right at an hour, which is a good time. And normally I'll try to maybe invite some people or have an open chat. I haven't decided yet, because the Ascension Age is all about creating that which has not been created yet. And it's also about the shift in the future. So with that said, I'm going to play my song and leave you tonight. I am going to play Rocky Top because I like it. And good night. This is yours truly.
Wish that I was on a rocky top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smuggy smoke on rocky top. Ain't no tests on bills. Once I had a guy on rocky top, half bear, other half cat. Wild as a mink and sweet as soda pop, I still dream about that. Rocky top.
Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top.